Hey there, boo. How are you
Hi,
today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I want to ask you a question, like, real quickly. When you hear the word apartheid, what do you instantly think of?
Injustices, inequality, our painful history as Black South Africans.
That is interesting. Do you know what I think of? I'm thinking of police van, police brutality. People crying for freedom. That's what I think of. Welcome, welcome to our new podcast series, The Unforgotten Era. I'm so sorry.
Yes.
The Unforgotten Era. We're going back to the past. We're bringing uncomfortable conversations into light. We just want to basically bring the youth back to thinking about apartheid, to talking about apartheid. So, my name is Fizisa Gamla. I'm not alone today. I'm here with.
You are worth Lebogang.
Yes, so now we're going to dive into the topic of apartheid.
So today we'll be talking about how youth is forgetting to celebrate important dates, for example, like Mandela Day. So I want to ask you, if did you celebrate Mandela Day this year, or you're just like me, we didn't do any celebration?
I'm very guilty, hey?
Same.
Actually, with our topic today that we are doing today, I was like, oh my word, I actually forgot Mandela Day this year. Like, I was thinking about it, I was like, yo, 67 minutes. So that's why we brought our topic today. It's a thing of like the youth tend to forget about the 67 minutes, about helping out in the community.
And it is so funny because last time I celebrated Mandela Day, I was in high school. I think grade 11. I don't remember celebrating in grade 12. So I also noticed that since I moved here, no one reminded me of you have to celebrate 67 minutes. And same like you, I even forgot that we have Mandela Day. So yeah, I am guilty too.
She most probably is looking at us right now. Wow. How could you forget my birthday? We are so sorry. But actually, like, I actually have a different experience from you. Like, in high school, I did not know about Mandela Day at all. And then when I came to varsity last year, in our years, they spoke about Mandela Day and they were like, we must do something for Mandela Day. And we obviously did something. And I was like, is this something that people do every year? Like, do something for the community?
We used to do it every year. Like, we would go to preschools to help kids with
Oh,
their
that's so nice.
homeworks. We'd go to primary schools to give kids sweets. I grew up doing that. But I think as I grow up, I'm also growing out of that thing of celebrating
Oh,
the
okay,
day. So, yeah.
I see. I feel like I'm also going through the same thing as well. Because now, yo, the way I'm feeling so guilty right now that I didn't celebrate, I didn't do anything. For sure, next year I'm doing something for 67.
Definitely.
Like, it's a given. Like, we're doing that. So, yeah, in terms of the youth, we wanted to approach like e-community engagement. We wanted to approach basically the young people, also the older people. And we did a few interviews here and there. So now we have four packages. Is it four or three
It's
packages?
four.
Four packages in store for you, basically going through this topic of the 67 minutes for Mandela Day, and also speaking about the youth. Is the youth actually uninterested in the past, or maybe they're trying to remember it, but they're also facing other issues such as unemployment?
Young people are facing a lot of things now, like you say, unemployment. Some of them can't even get space to come here in varsity. And also, I think the reason why they don't know anything about apartheid is because they were never educated about it at schools. Usually, when they teach history, they teach us about other countries. They don't really focus on South African history. Also, when they focus on South African history, they'll tell you about Nelson Mandela,
Long walk to
Long
freedom.
Walk to Freedom. They're not gonna tell you about the people who were fighting with him.
Yes.
'Cause I remember asking a question that did Nelson go to prison alone. No, and then only to find out that there were other people who went to prison with him. So, yeah, I feel like we should be taught South African history.
In depth.
Yes. You know, they must not sugarcoat or take some of the things out. We want to know everything so that we be educated and know what happened back then.
No, I didn't even know there were people like, oh, Victoria, I'm playing, you know, Joseph, until I got to varsity.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, these people actually exist.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for it because that is our history. We should take pride in the fact that there were people who actually fought for the fact that today now I have rights. I can be like, you know what? I have freedom of expression. You know what? I have the freedom of life.
Yeah,
you see, stuff like that.
Exactly. Because also, Umamu Winnie Madikizela Mandela, she played a very huge role. But when you hear about her, you only hear that she was Mandela. She wasn't even a wife, as far as I'm concerned.
Really?
She wasn't. You only hear that she was Mandela's partner.
So that's all.
You don't get to hear what she did. But when it comes to O'Nelson Mandela, you hear, you know,
like everything, yes.
Exactly.
Even overseas, they only celebrate Nelson Mandela. They don't actually look at the fact that it wasn't just Nelson Mandela who was the political figure that fought for our freedom.
Exactly.
It's just that, yeah, now he was the person who became the president.
Because my little sister once said something to me. She said, why would we praise one person? I don't understand that. And I was like, teachers at school should start teaching history in a different way now. They should go in depth.
Yes, they should teach us.
Now we can say that the youth is forgetting apartheid, but we're also forgetting that as time goes, they become distant. But they didn't experience that. We didn't experience it. Also, like, they didn't experience it. So they end up not being interested because when you are born, you grow up, and then they say, this person fought for us. You know, you don't understand. So you really need to know what happened for that person to end up being celebrated.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I also think I'm really agreeing with your point where, like, we didn't experience it forefront. Maybe that's why we're not thinking much about it. Even Alena is 67 minutes, we quickly forget it.
Exactly.
Whereas Abantu Abadala, they're like, you know what? We have to do something for him. Because they're always speaking about the fact that we have a freedom. They're also always standing behind the ANC, saying ANC fought for us because they have that experience. They have that gratitude, I think, let me put it like that, that gratitude, but okay, they actually brought us freedom.
Yeah.
And they're not just looking at one person, but many people who actually fought and died for our freedom. That is so interesting. So now let's just dive into the packages. So explain to us your interviews, who you approached, what happened.
So with us, we interviewed someone who's older and then someone who's part of youth. And what she said the same thing that I said, that the youth is going through a lot now. We are now focusing on getting jobs, getting spaces so that we can go to varsity. And we don't have time to think about apartheid. That's what she said. And then when it comes to older people, they saw the struggle and they saw what those people did to black people. So they are still traumatized, and I think that's why they celebrate every year, is because they know how painful it was. So for us, we don't know that pain. We just hear from them when they tell us this and that happened. So yeah, that's what I got from my interviews.
So, Kegoku, with what you're saying, do you think, Kegoku, the older generation may look at us as people who seem uninterested in apartheid?
They do think we are uninterested. And because even my grandmother, every time I'm back at home, she would say, you guys don't know how we struggled back then. And I'm like, we don't know. We don't know,
we
honestly.
Really don't.
We really don't know, honestly, because even the way she says it, you can see that
it still hurts.
It still hurts. But for me, I don't know what happened. I'm worried about graduating and then going back home.
And with nothing to do.
With nothing to do. So, yeah, we really don't know what happened.
Interestingly enough, with what you're saying, we interviewed a youth as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yena, he also spoke about what you're saying. He said, but elderly people tend to think that we are uninterested. But the thing is, we are more focused on unemployment. We're more focused on the issues that are here now. Mm-hmm. And the thing is with us, it's more of a thing of like, we don't just strike like immediately. There are things such as petitions.
Yeah.
For example, you also brought up Landia National Credit Act, where they were saying that they're going to blacklist us as the youth.
Mm.
And then he said, well, we used petitions and then it was cancelled. Whereas back in the day when someone would put in a petition, it would be like, no, you're black.
Yeah.
We're not going to listen to you. We're not going to do that because the apartheid laws say this and that and that and that and that.
Mm-hmm.
So with what you're saying, I agree with it. We didn't experience that. We are in a different time zone. We are experiencing different struggles.
Exactly.
Three JMS students, Michalim Famana, Zumbululo, Musekwa, Fizakamwa, take it up to themselves to approach Mr. Dumisa to hear his side of the story on whether he thinks the youth is uninterested in apartheid or not, or are they simply trying to celebrate it in a different way. That was Utatu Dumisa Mpupa giving us a poem. Dr. Dumisa is a lecturer for the IMS dance class. Apartheid was a system of institutionalized racial segregation and discrimination that was enforced by the South African government from 1948 to the early 1990s. Under apartheid, laws were created to separate people based on race, mainly between white, black, colored, and Indian South Africans. These laws controlled where people could live, work, go to school, and even whom they could marry. For many youths, not only in Makanda, but across South Africa, thinking about apartheid might feel like reopening wounds that were never truly healed. They are facing issues such as unemployment, inequality, and broken systems, and many other realities that might demand their full attention. And so, they begin to look like they are uninterested in apartheid, mostly in the eyes of the elders, whereas they are not trying to erase the past, but survive it.
We think it about apartheid and that 1994, and now we are in the new dispensation now, whereby the government is for the people. Then the government was for the oppressors.
It was against the people.
Yeah, it was against the people, but this one is for the people. That is in theory, by the way. Yeah. So now the youth is not interested in anything. Never. I would say, generally speaking, not each and everyone, you know, who's a youth, but in general, youth is discouraged, by what is happening in their surroundings.
For Mr. Dumisa, like many other elders, the dream was simple, that their children would never suffer the way they did. And while the new dispensation promised freedom, the freedom is still not visible. Many young South Africans are choosing not to dwell on the traumas of the past, not because they're forgotten, but because they are trying to survive the issues of the broken promises made by the government.
After the new dispensation, after 1994, the people were never sat down with the police and to welcome the police. These police are no longer the apartheid police force. So now everything is just upside down. You see the government, the black government, that behaved even worse than the white government. Mm-hmm. You see the black police, they're the ones who kill even more. And then if you see the people who struggle for this freedom we're talking about, the black people, no one is caring for them.
As Mr. Dumisa said, freedom was won, but justice was never fully delivered. Although people were given hope, their wounds were never healed. The police that once worked under the government of apartheid were never introduced as their protectors. And now the same people who fought for liberation feel abandoned. For many people, the disappointment started with the silence of the new system, And now the youth is living in a country where the promises of 1994 are not yet fulfilled. And in the silence, the legacy of apartheid continues, not through laws, but through lived experiences.
Sesetu Mchelu has an opposing opinion compared to Mr. Dumisa. He says that the youth is not necessarily uninterested, however, generations are not the same. So the youth shows their interest in a much more different way, such as petitions and not necessarily strikes. When asked, Sesetu gives us feedback on what happened on Mandela Day, the participation that was from the students. Let's hear what he has to say.
I would say it's a lot of people in terms of the clothes that we collected on that day. The boxes that we collected were like from different residents. It was like most of the students were interested on the thing. And then some of the residents stated that some students were interested taking part, but they didn't have anything like to give for a day.
Sesetu Mchelu works under the Rhodes University Community Engagement, also known as RUCE. He's the SRC Community Engagement Counselor. When he speaks about RUCE, he speaks about how students are eager to join the programs that are given out, showing that the youth is not necessarily uninterested, but they engage in the inequalities in South Africa in a different light.
Now, one thing our country are trying to fix is our education. One thing about students from Rhodes University, they are taking part like in programs that are offered by Rhodes to help even the community of Makanda. There are programs that are there to show how students are engaging as a youth, how we are creating progress in like in a different style. If you check the numbers of students that are taking part in these programs that are offered by Rhodes, there are a lot of students, which each and every year, even now, maybe they're asking for opportunity to be part of these programs because they see that Bana, these programs create a change within their community. Even the pass rate of Grahamstown have increased since ever these programs were introduced within the community. Show that the way how we fight as a youth, we fight by implementing things that will change the community. I would say I understand like an old person saying that our youth is not like active as them. The problem, they think that when we want to fight something, we'll go on the streets, what's on the ground.
So the first package that we just dived from is basically having two people, which is Mr. Dumisa as well as Sesetu. And as you heard in the package, there were three JMS students that actually went and interviewed them, which was Uzumbululo, Umihlali, as well as Ufezisa. Now let's just digress. Let's just speak about what they were saying. How do you feel about that, Lebo?
I agree with them because someone in the interview mentioned that generations are not the same, which is something that I said when we started, that our generation is not the same with like the past generations.
That is so true.
So they won't relate to anything those people are saying. So, yeah.
And they tend to think that us as the youth, we don't take things seriously. I don't know, with them now, the word Amatuke sounds derogatory. Mm. Like, it's like, okay, it's the unserious generation.
Yeah.
Amatuke, we're too.
Because also, even when you're dealing with our own issues, they expect us to go out there to strike and
yes.
do all those things. But we are approaching things differently now. You know, people are doing petitions and other things. We are not that generation. We're not that violent. So,
yeah. Sesetu was like, I would understand if an old person would say that we're not interested. They think we're going to take our books and put them down. And I was like, I feel you.
Exactly. Because how can we want to be educated? So we can't just take our books and put them down, go out there, bend schools and do all those things.
Yes, because Gogo, what we're facing a lot is the education as well as the unemployment. Those are the things that are stressing us out. So Gogo, we can't be always thinking about the past, but okay, apartheid happened, apartheid. We must think about the now, but okay, cool. These are the things that we're actually facing. How can we tackle these issues? How can we go about them?
Exactly. Also, it takes me back to how we are being taught history in schools. I don't think things would be like this if they taught, like they tell us everything that happened back then. Because what they're doing now is that they're just telling us what we need to know. They don't tell us everything.
Now, I just want us to go to Tatu Dumisa. So Tatu Dumisa mentioned something about the youth actually being discouraged by the government that we have now. So can we please digress this? Can we please go through that and speak about the fact that
the government is actually, in a sense, failing us, because they do say, well, we have the right to access of education. However, not a lot of people get into varsity. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, not a lot of people go into the workforce. We may think, well, okay, if I study and I finish my 4 years, I'm going to immediately get a job. That's not the reality in South Africa.
That's not the reality. Looking at that thing of, we are studying, but we can't get jobs. I think it also plays a role on, is one of the reasons why the youth can't, you know, celebrate such events like Mandela Day. And also you are here, you are studying, and you are thinking that after here, what's going to happen?
Yes,
so
definitely.
You can't keep going back and say, I want to celebrate these events, because you have to focus on what is happening now. And also, I agree with Mr. Dumisa, the government is failing us, because they said the government is for the people. But when you look at the youth today, we have a lot of youth who don't even qualify for a NSFAS bursary because...
Yes.
Like, yeah, those people don't even have parents. Some of them come from disadvantaged backgrounds, but still, they still can't qualify for the bursary. But there's someone inside here who comes from a very privileged family. They qualified for the very same bursary. So you don't really understand how the system works.
Exactly. You know, the other day, I don't know how I feel about saying this story, but the other day I was watching TikTok, and then they spoke about this other girl, Kutua. She didn't have the qualifications for this specific job. She was working on the right hand of a deputy, I don't remember, but it was a minister man for social development. Mm-hmm. And they were like, she was into a secretary. Number one, she didn't qualify to be a secretary. And then all of a sudden she became like, I think, a manager or something in Kuluman Park with development of social grants. And I was like, Nimfaka kanjani umuntu onjalo? Like, is it a nepotism? What's happening? It is very unfair for us as the youth.
You have to know people. If you don't know people,
you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
For real.
Hence they say, while you're still here in varsity, you have to make connections with people so that when you leave here,
and network as much as
exactly,
you can.
Exactly, yeah.
That is so good. But let's dive more into the fact that, is it true, though, that the youth is actually uninterested in our party? Because we haven't touched on that point the entire time we were speaking about basically how the youth are focused on other things. But let us dive into the actual topic of today.
I don't think they are. You know, when you are dealing with, it takes me back to what I've been saying, that they are dealing with their own things. They have to get education. They're dealing with unemployment, inequalities that are happening. So they can't keep going back and say, we want to celebrate these holidays, because they have to focus on the problem they are facing now.
Okay, I hear you. I hear you. But then, let's also go back to Mandela Day and stuff. Because remember in our introduction, we spoke about how we actually forgot Mandela Day. What is happening with Mandela Day? So now let's just look at that and see, but is it true that the youth... Because even Usasetu was like, Usasetu, but actually... people participated in Mandela Day. They gave out izinto. Like, there were even people who were interested in participating, but they couldn't because they didn't have clothes to give out for Mandela Day.
To be honest, I didn't see anyone who participated for Mandela Day, especially people around me. Maybe it's because I don't live on campus.
Okay.
But
okay.
Where I'm from, I didn't see anyone. So, yeah. Also, me, I didn't celebrate the day. I didn't do any 67 minutes. And yeah, I really feel bad.
Same. I also feel bad. But also, I'm also thinking about Youth Day as well. A lot of youth actually participated in Youth Day.
They always do. I think that's the only holiday that people take serious. Not only the youth, but a lot of people. Also because... of the Hector Peterson story. I think there's no one who doesn't know the Hector Peterson story. So every time 16 June, I think we know.
Well, we have to celebrate that.
Exactly. So it's different with Mandela Day. I don't know how, but it is so much different.
With Mandela Day. I wonder why, because Mandela is the one that fought for our freedom.
Exactly.
It's quite interesting. I think you as the listener, we're going to give you the opportunity to think about it, to digress as well, to think, but as to, do you necessarily think that the youth is uninterested in the past? Maybe you can also think about the words of Mr. Dumisa saying maybe that the youth is discouraged by the fact that our government is failing us. Or maybe you could even think about to saying a contradiction that actually the youth is interested, but in different ways. Mm-hmm. And that the youth did, in fact, participate in Mandela Day.
Mm-hmm. Mandela Day was created to remind South Africans of the painful journey through apartheid and the importance of service. But in recent years, many young people seem to take little notice of the day. This made us wonder, why does it look like the youth are forgetting apartheid? And what do the older generation think about this? To find out, we did interviews whereby people share their views on how Mandela Day is remembered today.
My name is Shepi Mati. I am a lecturer at the School of Journalism and Media Studies in the radio section.
Thank you so much, sir, for granting me with the opportunity to interview you. The topic of the day is the history of apartheid. What is it that you can say about apartheid? What is the history of apartheid?
Yeah. Okay. Apartheid, when you look at the history of apartheid, you have to make a distinction between the period that came before formal apartheid, because formal apartheid started in 1948. That is a legalized apartheid. But before that, there was segregation. A large part of our colonial history was based on segregation. A lot of it was along class lines, but there was also race involved. By 1948, with the triumph of the Nationalist Party in the elections that took place then, and their triumph was based on a commitment to protect the whites from competition with blacks in the labor force.
You mentioned that we have to keep the legacies of those who fought for us alive. But how do we do that if our educational system does not offer us the opportunity to learn about our history? In school, we are told about these public holidays that the 21st of March is Human Rights Day, but they do not go into much detail about what's behind that day, what happened, what had to be done for us to have that day. So how can we better our educational system to allow us to learn about our history?
Yeah, it's a very important question. I think we need to continue the struggle to improve the quality of education wherever we are. And that includes not only providing us with an education that makes us better citizens, but also an education that gives us skills so that we can be employable, but an education that informs us and makes us critical thinkers. And it informs us about what took place, even if that is not at this stage available in the syllabus, but the teachers who are entrusted with the responsibility to teach that, it's together with the learners, is to go beyond what is available, what is in front of them in terms of the textbooks, and go and do research in the communities about the men and women who gave everything so that we are free. And when they do that, they will discover stories that then can shape perhaps and even mean so much for community building in the area that the schools are located in. There's lots of individuals that come from here, from Makanda, who really sacrificed, and we know very little about them, or very few of us still know about their stories. So it's by going to, during those days where we mark the events that happened in the past, or mark days like such as Human Rights Day, then is to bring in those voices so that they can, we can be kept informed. And I think for me, that task doesn't, even if the syllabus, even if the education department has not as yet developed textbooks that address these issues, we need to take initiative, we need to lead and do something about it.
So I want to hear from you, Bonto. When you were growing up, how did people celebrate Mandela Day?
Well, I'd say that back then, people used to take it very seriously. I remember this other time when I was in primary school. Marking teachers would, I think we had this, you know that in Mandela Day we have this 67 minutes mm-hmm. where you honor him or whatever, I don't know. But we would go outside the school, go around the fences and pick up treasures, mm-hmm. like just clean the school. Yeah, and it would be a way of, you know, honoring him.
Mm-hmm. That's actually nice because nowadays people no longer do it. So do you think, Kori, just because people don't have, the youth don't, like, are fighting other things like unemployment or crime and other things, do you think that's the reason why the youth today no longer celebrate Mandela Day?
Yeah, you could say that. I feel like unemployment is one of the most thing that got youth to be disconnected from this Mandela Day thingy. Okay. I'm sure they'd be like, why should I be celebrating a day of someone who's dead while, like, nothing is changing because there's still injustice in the government, unemployment, nothing's changing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I feel like they look at it and be like, this is a waste of time.
I'm also going to ask about how can apartheid history and Mandela's story be made more interesting for youth?
Ooh, okay, that's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. I have to think on that. Okay, I think I don't know if this will be far-fetched, né? Mm-hmm. But I think as you know that each and every year there is Werkemang, there's this show, Sarafina.
Okay.
Sarafina is replayed to tell people that okay, this is what happened.
Okay.
In history, mm-hmm. and then this is the contemporary. See the difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the TV's playing Sarafina, they'd be showing the people of now, which is the youth, mm-hmm. of what happened back then, and they're giving them an attitude of how to approach things.
Okay.
What to do, you know, to better the world. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah.
Through the voices of older generations, we learned that Mandela Day is not just about celebrating Mandela's life. It is about keeping the history of apartheid alive. They worry that if the youth stop connecting with this day, important lessons about sacrifice, freedom, and saviors might be forgotten. Not only that, but apartheid as a whole might be forgotten.
Okay, what we just listened to is a package by Ulebohang as well as Ugrace. Now we are going to dissect into that as well. We had Mr. Shepi as well as Uponso who was speaking about Mandela Day as well as Indo apartheid. But Mr. Shepi, he gave us more of a historical background with the apartheid, telling us that the apartheid, it's not a thing that it started in 1948. Yes, it was legalized in 1948, but before that, we still had segregation. So it's been a thing that has been happening for years. And now, with our education, we can see it, but we are not, number one, being informed about our history, mm-hmm. and number two, we still have to fight for our freedom.
I think he went deep to
also the causes of apartheid, which is something that I didn't know. I didn't even know where apartheid started. So it was a very educational conversation for me.
Yes, thank you so much. Then Ponzi, and she started telling us about her youthful days. She started reminiscing about Mandela Day when she was at school, like how you told me was in the introduction. Back in the days, you know, she used to participate, they used to clean up, but now that she's in university, now it's not there. Like, not everyone participates in Mandela Day, in which I'm still going to say, it's not the same.
I mean, same thing with me. I was so shocked when I got here, because they used to remind us the day before Mandela Day in high school that tomorrow we'll be picking up papers, we'll be painting, we'll be helping children with, like, different things. But when I got here, it was so different. No one reminded me. Hence, I even said, I forgot. I saw my grandmother's status and I was like, oh, it's Mandela Day today. And I felt so guilty because I didn't even do anything. Same thing happened last year, even this year.
Really? So,
yeah.
Wow. I said, well, last year, we were all told about, okay, we are cleaning up today. And I was like, what are we cleaning up for? Like, it's just a normal day. Okay, it's Nelson Mandela's birthday, but it's a normal day. Only to find out, but actually these 67 minutes
where we
I didn't even know about it. So it goes back to Lendoka Mr. Shepi, that we need to be informed about things like this. We need to learn about things like this, because maybe there's someone out there who's like me, who doesn't know, like, about, they know mostly it's Nelson Mandela's birthday, but they don't know about the 67 minutes aspect of it, where we have to help out, maybe clean, maybe go out and give people food, give people clothing, all that type of stuff.
Especially the coming generation, I don't think they know Nelson Mandela, but I don't think they know why people do the 67 minutes thing. So yeah, I still feel like at schools they need to explain this whole thing further.
And they need to bring about it.
Exactly, yeah.
And Betchilo, Mr. Shepi, that we need to fight for the improvement of equality education yet. So that, I think it is important that from a young age they are told, but every year, 18th of July, you have to help out in some way. Do something sweet. Do something nice. Make someone's day. Yes.
Because I also think with us, even though we were doing it, I didn't know why I was doing it. I just knew that there is 67 minutes and you have to help out. It's either, like, you choose whatever you want to do. But I didn't know the purpose of that. So, yeah, it was a bit confusing.
All of it. Can you please go to Upon? So she mentioned something. She was like, with the youth, since we were speaking about the struggles that we are facing as the youth, she spoke about something about, like, the youth saying, like, why would we pay attention to this when there are much more greater things that we have to look at? Can you please speak about that?
Like I said in the beginning, the youth is facing a lot of things. So we can't keep going back and fighting things that we didn't experience, especially if they don't teach us more about these things. Like, it is so difficult when you are facing unemployment and other things. Then you have to still go back and fight for other things. Like, so, yeah.
And it is quite difficult to actually always think about something that you never experienced, something that you've never been part of. And if people were to ask you, why are you doing this, would you be even able to explain such a thing? Yeah, well, so that is very interesting.
Uratile Kaibe is a second-year student at Rhodes University studying law. And in this interview, she reflects on how, even though apartheid ended a long time ago, still affects us as the youth. And she thinks that the promises that were made during apartheid are not yet fulfilled.
My name is Uratile Kaibe. And when I think of apartheid, I think of the detrimental impact that it has had, or that it still has, on Black South Africans. Even though it's something that ended more than 20 years ago, Black South Africans still suffer from the effects of apartheid. We see it in the high levels of unemployment. We see it in workspaces. We see it amongst ourselves, in the interactions we have with people, and how we just always have to work harder than the other person just to be where they are. It's really such things, when I say the detrimental impact that it has had.
I really do not think that the promises that were made in 1994 have been fulfilled. For example, like I said, we look at the high rates of unemployment, the inequalities really even in workplaces, in universities. You find all these, even, you know, the discrimination. These are the after effects of apartheid. So I think the promises that were made were not really fulfilled. Even if there are all these systems in place, you know, there was voting, people could not vote. But even with that, promises were still not fulfilled.
Even though many youth do not participate in Mandela Day, it leaves a question on whether the youth cares about the history of apartheid. And when we were visiting Kuyasa Special School to interview the youth on apartheid, even before we brought up the word apartheid, a student was being an Imbongi, giving praises to Nelson Mandela and what he has done for our democratic state. She highlighted the rights he has granted us through his fight against the armed struggle, which proves that the youth has not forgotten about the past, but then they found another way to celebrate the fall of apartheid. The youth may not remember the struggles of apartheid, but they still carry the consequences every day. Their silence does not mean that they are forgotten. It is a way to protest and a way to survive. And maybe it's time we stop asking, why aren't the youth looking back, and start asking, how can we move forward together?
Siye kone midolens, sizo hamba busuku nemi. Siye kone midolens, 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 itandosa.
What a beautiful package to end with. And that was one of the packages that came from Faisal Mihlale and Ntsobululu. And in this package, we had Oradile, as well as, because when we went to go and interview Abantwana Basekhuya, so the principal asked us if we could keep the children anonymous. So we're just going to say the learner from Khuyasa because of confidentiality purposes. I like what Oratile said. I remember the point that you gave where you were like, a lot of children who are privileged because of the aftermath of apartheid, mm-hmm. some children who are going to be coming from rich households, but then they get to UNSFAS, but then there are children who are coming from unprivileged backgrounds, but then when they can't get to UNSFAS. And Oratile mentioned that some of us, we have to work harder, even though we were promised that we would get freedom. Mm-hmm. We were promised that everything for us is going to get better after apartheid.
It is so sad because you have to know people in order to get certain things. Because even for the NSFAS situation, if they don't approve you, you have to know certain people for you to be approved.
Yes.
So I think that's why there's a lot of people who come from disadvantaged background who don't even have funding even today.
Yes, and funding is quite difficult to get. But we ended off with a beautiful poem from the learner from Khuyasa, where she was actually giving praises to Nelson Mandela for our liberation. But now let's just hear our guests for today, because we have Ntsobululu, we have Grace, as well as Mihlale. Now they're just going to tell us about the packages, how it was like when they went out to ask people questions, and what they think of them now that they are finished.
My name is Mihlale, and when I was doing this, it was like, first of all, I'm also a person in South Africa in a place that I experienced apartheid, but I'm a youth, you see, so I've never experienced it myself. But and then when I went out there talking to these different people, it gave me insight, like Udata gave me insight, and then I got to see different perspectives because of the youth. Oradile said some things that I actually relate to, because we're here right now, we're not there then. Not saying we're disregarding that or neglecting whatever happened back then. We appreciate the leaders we had and everything like that, but as she said, we're facing a lot of things currently now. As she said, the NSFAS things, unemployment, it's a lot that's happening. And I also relate to it, you know, as a youth. Yeah, thanks.
Okay. My name is Nzumburura, and when we were recording these interviews, I feel like I learned a lot of things because I myself am a youth, and I don't think I've ever celebrated Mandela Day or anything that has to do with apartheid. I've never even thought about it. And I feel like as much as we are being taught about it in schools and wherever, we are still not getting anything out of that. We still don't know what apartheid is.
Though I relate to you, though, because with me as well, Mandela Day, like, as I was saying, within Mandela Day, now when I came to university, I didn't know it. I was shocked when people were saying to me, 67 minutes. So I understand you when you say, we have to be informed, we have to be educated with this. And that's what Mr. Shepi said. And that was the package, Grace. Grace, let's hear from your side.
Hi everyone, my name is Grace. What stood out for me with my interview with Mr. Shepi is the fact that our educational system is failing us. But as much as our educational system is failing us, the question is, what do we do as youth? Do we just fold our hands and then say that our educational system is failing us? Or do we go out there and like find out more about our history of apartheid, about what makes us South Africans, about the heroes who fought for our freedom? I think it's very wise for us to go beyond what the schools offer us. We do not need to only depend on schools, especially now because we have access to the internet. It is very advantageous. We have the advantage of learning more because we have access to the internet. We have access to learn everything that we need to know about. We can't just depend on what schools offer us, because it's clear that schools are failing us, especially if you come from a very disadvantaged school, like in the rural areas. They don't give us enough information about what happened during apartheid. So I think we need to go beyond what our schools offer us. We need to do research, ask people who lived during that time of apartheid in order for us to know more about the heroes who fought for us.
Thank you so much for your words. And now we are going to be closing off our episode, which we were speaking about neglecting the youth, actually neglecting apartheid. And we basically listened to three packages. The first one had Mr. Dumisa as well as Usese too. Mr. Dumisa said that the youth is uninterested because the government is failing us. As you are saying, Grace, that Tina, we are not being informed much. We need to go out there and learn for ourselves. And then Mr. Seth, you spoke about Mandela Day, and he said something that is quite interesting. He said that actually the youth were participating in Mandela Day. Like, a lot of people were contributing, in which we thought that a lot of youth weren't paying attention to Nelson Mandela Day. And then the second package that we looked at was the package which had Mr. Shepi as well as Upon. So Mr. Shepi was telling us about education, which Grace is talking about now, and how equality education is failing us because it is not telling us about these political figures. It's not telling us about these public holidays. And then Upon was just telling us about our childhood and how it was like to celebrate Mandela Day. And then the last package that we had for you today was Oratile speaking about basically the struggles that the youth is facing today and as to why we are actually forgetting about these public holidays. And then we ended off with a beautiful poem from a learner from Kuyasa, basically commemorating Nelson Mandela and all the things that he had to say. Lebo, do you have any few words you want to say before we close off our show?
I just want to say, next year, guys, please don't forget to celebrate Mandela Day.
Definitely. The three people in our studio, Utsumbululu, Grace and Mihlalo, do you guys have any few words you would like to leave to the listener? You don't? Okay, it's okay.
Okay. I would say the schools need to teach us more about apartheid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That we can be informed, Yeah.
Thank Definitely. You so much. True. I also believe that young children need to get like a basic foundation of what apartheid is so that they can grow up knowing more about our history and those heroes who fought for us. And they should also know the importance of celebrating these days like Mandela Day from a very young age so that even when they grow up, they continue to embrace those days and continue to celebrate them.
Thank you so much. And as our podcast gay, our name is The Forgotten Era. But now that we've learned today, we're not going to say it's The Forgotten Era. We are going to go by Nsumbululu's last words in her package when she said that we need to stop looking back at the past and look at the present.